Well, Julie, you said last week you'd look into the situation where individuals have dwellings on lots in the Daintree and when those lots should only have one dwelling. Does the council consider breaches of this a serious matter?
Look, yes, when we spoke last week, Paul, I did say that I would follow it up with our CEO because this is an operational matter, and I spoke to him. And certainly, I think the advice is the same as what he gave you when you rang him last Sunday week, is that any type of investigation is confidential, and that's to ensure natural justice for all parties. And so I'm not able to confirm one way or the other. Another thing I think I might have mentioned last week is that there's all different types of tenure, so people can't just assume that maybe they might think that there's more dwellings on a particular property. Quite a common type of tenure that was sort of embarked upon, certainly in the 70s and 80s in Far North Queensland, was a title that's called Tenants in Common, where a number of people have a common tenure on a bigger piece of property. And so we don't know. I don't know particularly whether that's the case for that particular property, but essentially at this stage it's certainly confidential.
Confidential. But I mean, really, I mean, surely if a council is undergoing an investigation, we don't have to mention names or location, but you could confirm there is an investigation underway. I don't understand the confidentiality about that.
Not really. Look, we want to make sure in our community that everyone is protected, and that includes anyone who makes a complaint. So the people who make a complaint are entitled to natural justice. The people who they're alleging something, it could be anything, are also entitled to have natural justice. We don't see that it's appropriate for the media to discuss or air something when it is underway. And in actual fact, I'm not confirming one way or the other. Paul, as I said, this is a confidential matter. I mean, I think everyone, including the media, needs to be very careful about airing anything that really is just a rumour. And you have to think about the motivation sometimes of people behind these things.
Yeah, well, but when the media, like, and I'll talk about myself now, I know there is, and I've received information, and I know there is an investigation underway. I don't see how...
Look, perhaps if you know that there is an investigation, why don't you send that to me and the CEO?
Oh, no, come on. Julia, you know there's an investigation underway. Your CEO...
No, I don't, actually.
You don't?
I'm not going to say whether there is an investigation or not. And I've already, I think, given a very good explanation.
All right. Well, look, let me ask you this.
But if you think that there is an investigation, why don't you forward the information to us?
Well, there's no use me forwarding information about you and doing an investigation and forward that information to you. That's totally ridiculous. But look, let's not talk about this individual case, but do you, as a council, consider people who have got multiple properties on a particular lot, not talking about this one, do you think that that is something that you consider serious as the mayor and a council?
Look, we have a number of issues which fall into the general category of local laws. They can be dogs, they can be all sorts of things that neighbours, you know, may be concerned about, and you know, we treat them all as we should. But there's also an element of what sort of resources we've got. When you say use the word investigation in inverted commas, it may be that someone knows an officer may have visited a property, and it could be for any reason. It could just be to ask questions. It might be to do a survey. It might be to do something in relation to feral pigs. So that's why I said earlier about investigation may be an investigation in your mind, but it may not be in terms of the official duties of council that I'm not going to reveal, because it's inappropriate. It's inappropriate.
No, but I'm not asking you. But I'm not asking you, Julia, about this. Julia, I'm not asking. Julia, I'm not asking you about this investigation anymore. I'm just asking you a broad question. Do you believe people who have multiple dwellings on a lot that is not zoned for that is considered serious as far as council is concerned?
Look, if anyone wants to raise anything with us at council, we will, under the process that we've already determined look into it. There's a lot of things that council are doing, and we also have to make sure that we've got the staff resources to actually carry all those things out, because we are also trying to balance making sure that we're doing a lot of work, and at the moment, including spending a lot of staff resources on repairing much of the damage that we've received in as a result of the Aussie Day weekend weather event. That's taking up a lot of our time, as well as not dropping the ball on all our major infrastructure, like the Wongeti Trail announcement, like moving the Mosman Aged Care project along, responding to the marina, and also some of these other big projects that are very important for our economic development.
Okay,
they're the four key projects that we're working on, as well as many other things that we're doing on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, talking with Julie Aloy, our Mayor. Julie, we spoke about this at the spot down, and of course Douglas locals will hopefully see the return of a popular fishing and croc spotting platform at the Mowbray River Bridge. The state government is giving $5.7 million to the project at the Mowbray North section of the Wangetti Trail, and this will feature a 2.25k mangrove experience boardwalk, a 5k walking trail to 4 Mile Beach and Flagstaff Hill hopefully as well. And it's starting in September. Now, first of all, we got your reaction the other day, but this is going to be wonderful when it comes off.
Oh, look, it's going to be a game changer. It's going to inject millions of dollars into our local economy. It's going to provide a really fantastic and historic experience for both visitors and locals. I'm not sure if you're aware that we're being told that 65% of travel spending associated with adventure and ecotourism packages remain in our local destination. This has been a priority project for Douglas Shire Council since we re-established ourselves in 2014. We saw the potential for this trail. We worked on it. We funded a concept design, and we have been working really hard since then with particularly the state government. They have been fantastic. They've funded a significant business case, and they've funded many other aspects of it. And this is even prior to the $5.7 million, which will be for the first stage. And the first stage will start at Mowbray and continue to Port Douglas. And as you've already said, it links up with 4 Mile and our own Flagstaff Hill walking track.
Julia, is native title going to slow this process down? Now, we have two tribes that are disputing the right to the land, and the Googie-Allenji clans and the several of them will have to agree to it as well. Could September be too soon for that to be fully resolved?
Native title negotiations, of course, are a very important part of all major projects these days. And that's why Gabalbina, which is the prescribed body corporate, has been established following the native title legislation many years ago. And so the state government is in direct contact with Gabalbina, who's, of course, got the overarching organisation for all the various plans. And they've got the responsibility in terms of all these types of negotiation. And I do know that they're very much underway. They've actually got a native title specialist working in the special project units of the state government responsible for this project.
So you're confident that this will get going and that we won't have any problems with native title?
Look, I mean, all I can say is that I know people are working really hard with the various clans. And, you know, we're all hopeful that things stick to timeframes, of course. You know, if I had a crystal ball and could determine everything, including where a cyclone's going to cross our coast, I'd be a very rich woman, wouldn't I?
Absolutely. I'd love to get access to that crystal ball of yours. Julie, you've been invited down to the Cairns Tourism Leaders Roundtable convened by Minister Kate Jones. You're going down, I believe, tomorrow?
Yes, I'm certainly hoping to. I mean, it depends what the weather does, of course. But I have been invited as one of the region's leaders. Certainly, I think the state government has come to the fore very quickly. As you know, in the last couple of weeks, we've had a very big discussion and debate around tourism in the far north, what we need to do, how we need to work together. We certainly know that recent weather events, plus the lack of good airline access, and also, I think there's been a lot of discussion about how the region is is branded and how it is promoted, particularly from the Tourism Events Queensland and Australia, Tourism Australia as well. There's been a change in the last few years. We sort of went from more local destination marketing to more experiences overall. And there is concern from a number of leaders about, you know, whether that's had the impact that we're actually seeing now. That's one of the reasons why for years and many years we want to continue with our Tourism Port Douglas Daintree organisation, because we have control about how we market and promote our own area, which is really important for us. Mm. But we do need to work collaboratively with the Far North region, and we've always done that. And so it'll be very interesting to see some of the discussion, how we can work better in the future tomorrow morning.
Mm. I'd like to talk to you about that next week. I think that'll be a very interesting chat. Julie, transport companies and established tourism enterprises are among those who've shown interest in the next Daintree River ferry contract. Now, expressions of interest for the high-profile contract are due to close in around about 2 weeks, but they've already attracted 20 organisations, individuals, some international players are inquiring as well. Has that surprised you at all?
No, it hasn't really, because this is a really unique sort of project. We know that there are people who provide these types of services in Australia and also internationally. The idea of putting out an expression of interest was really to gauge what the market is to make it known that this is an opportunity, obviously in the Douglas area. And it also allows then a lot of discussion between our offices and those EOIs. As you say, they close in a couple of weeks, and then that will sort of then move more forward into the actual formal tendering process. So not everyone who may put in an expression of interest may tender. One of the things with these bigger projects in the tender process, which I'm sure you're aware of, Paul, is that it is a significant cost for some of the companies to put in tender. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they like the idea of being able to discuss things a bit more and see, you know, whether they're really capable of meeting the expectations of council and the community. And, you know, the selection criteria, you know, it will be developed in terms of for that tender process. And I think, as you're aware, the tender will invite tenders no later than the 30th of June of this year, and we'll be awarding the contract no later than the end of the year because the new tender and everything has to be ready to go, of course, including the actual ferry. That has to be ready by the 1st of July 2021.
Mm. Oh, that's great. Just one little sidebar question to that. Now, if a new company took over, would it be a new ferry, or would they take over the ferry that's there?
Well, that's all part of what they will be tendering for.
Right.
And it could also be part of what they've already provided in their expression of interest.
Gotcha.
That's the whole idea is to test the market. There are a lot of issues that we want to resolve down at the ferry. And what we're looking for is whoever will be running the ferry or ferries will be able to help provide some of that those solutions. So it'll probably be arranged very differently into the future.
Fantastic.
Than what it is now, but certainly that doesn't preclude, of course, the current ferry contractor also for putting in a tender
as
well.
Of course. Now, Julia, you and your staff visited a couple of places last week, including the Daintree Village.
Yes, no, we had a great trip just this time last Monday up to Dagara and people up on along the Bloomfield River. And then the following morning, we went up to Daintree Village. And this was sort of part of our disaster recovery plan. We thought it was really important, given the significance of the Australia Day weekend flooding, that we actually visit particularly Dagara and Bloomfield, because they don't often see officers or the mayor, as they told me. Whilst I did know some of them, you know, when they do make it down to Mossman. But it was fantastic, actually, because we just sat around on a veranda. There was about 15 of us, plus some of our staff. We were able to hear directly their stories that occurred over that weekend. And also we're then able to answer questions, you know, and sometimes they're broader questions about council in general. Mm-hmm. And also make sure that, you know, next time round, if there are things that we need to pick up on that we do, But they certainly appreciated our visit, and it was very good for us to actually be able to go directly and see those particular properties, you know, the proximity to the river that many of them are on, and also with our Indigenous sisters, Frances and her sister. That was a very special moment in I terms bet. Of they wanted us to go and see the access to their property, and they wanted to show us their future economic development plans. So we were able to actually discuss with them more sort of town planning issues, their aspirations, and I know that they did very much appreciate our visits and that Absolutely. Opportunity that they had to discuss those very important things with them.
I think it was very good you did that in council, because I'm sure they're incredibly appreciative of that. Now, just finally...
And the same thing happened the next morning at Daintree Village.
Yep.
Whilst, of course, Daintree Village is, you know, a little closer to the main sort of admin area.
Yeah.
We had a similar roll-up. People, when we just sat around together under a mango tree, and we're able to hear the stories. Certainly there's, you know, issues that are well documented in terms of the Telstra issue and the lack of communications that occurred during that event.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we were doing at the time and what we continue to do and advocate to Telstra to make sure that that doesn't happen again.
Yep. That's terrific. Now, just finally, Julia, gardening personality Costa Georgiadis will head our way later in the year for the Douglas Gardening 2019. Now, the ABC Gardening Australia star believes now is the time for residents and businesses to let it grow before entries open for the 19 Douglas Garden Awards. Now, we have quite a few green thumbs in the Shire, Julia. I bet they're itching to get into this.
Look, we do. We do. I think it's one of... a very important aspect of why many people live here. People do love their gardens. Of course, we live in the tropics. Things grow so well. We've got such a big variety. You only have to drive around and see, you know, the spectacular nature of people's gardens. 2 years ago, we held the first Tropical Douglas Awards for this new council. It hadn't been operating for a number of years. And I actually met Costa one day, and I asked him, I said, if we established some garden awards in the Douglas Shire, would you be prepared to come up and be a judge? And he said, yes, of course. So we exchanged mobile phone numbers and it went from there. And we're absolutely thrilled that Costa has agreed to do that again. We know that we'll have, you know, a lot of interest from individuals and organisations. So we've got 8 categories.
Yep.
And people can go onto our website or Facebook and have a look at that. So entries will open on Monday the 3rd of June.
Right.
And they'll close on Friday the 12th of July. And the judging, the finalists, because it all depends how many entries we get. We certainly will... We were able to go to nearly every property last time. If we get more entries, we'll certainly will be going to every property, but it may be that some properties we have to look at a few days before the and sort of have some finalists, and then the finalists will be judged personally by Costa. But, you
Fantastic.
Know, these days with photos and images, I know that Costa loves getting around, and we want to make sure that he does have an opportunity to certainly meet all the entrants. And I went with him last time and it was fascinating. It was actually hard to leave most of the time, and, you know, we did have quite a tight time frame. But the judging will occur on Wednesday, July the 31st, and
right.
Thursday, August the 1st, and then we'll have an event which, you know, awards the winners and celebrates all the entrants on the Friday.
Fantastic.
The 2nd of August. Yeah.
You know, with him, with his beard and his hair, he should take part to raise money in the Great Shave and Haircut. Now, wouldn't it be interesting to... No, wouldn't it be interesting? I haven't seen a photo. I'm sure there's one on Google somewhere. But underneath that hair and underneath that beard, it'd be interesting to see Costa naked, so to speak.
They did show a photo of him
did.
Only just in the last few weeks on Gardening Australia, because It's celebrating quite a significant milestone.
Oh, okay.
And so I had an early photo of him. But look, what I would like to add, Paul, if you've got a moment, is that to encourage people with all these categories, it's a residential garden, an acreage garden, an edible garden, sustainable and environmental garden, the professional gardener. So that can be a professional gardener that's actually gardening for residential or other, you know, perhaps a resort, schools and childcare centres, and also land care and farms. Now, when we visited the schools and the childcare centres, it was just a hoot. I mean, the kids were so excited to see Costa, and he is so fantastic with the children. That was where it was very difficult to leave. And also, they just did some amazing things with their gardens. It was really just a real treat.
Oh, Julia, I've found the photo of him. He is a good, he is a good looking man. He is a good looking man.
Yes, I'm sure.
No, he is. Have you seen the photo?
Yes, no, I have. Yes,
oh, he looks he looks great. He really does.
He doesn't look too bad with his beard either. He's an individual and everyone loves
him. I'm not knocking that. He looks terrific and he's a real character with all of that. But having looked at him without the beard, wow. I'm saying he's a good-looking man in a virile sort of, you know, way. Not in a... Never mind. Thank you, Julia.
don't go down that track, Paul.
I'll see you next week.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.